Blog Talk Radio.
Self-respect, intellect, increasing our knowledge to keep ourselves in check.
Positivity is all we need. Together we will succeed.
Blog Talk Radio and Toyland Productions present The Rod TV Show, your source for inspiration and information. And as always, I'm your host, Mr. Rod TV, thanking everyone for taking this time out, making these 60 minutes a part of your week. As always, we are brought to you by Triple Minds Wellness and Massage. Those who are in the District, Maryland, Virginia, this is the time to get your massages. Please inbox me on Facebook at Rodney Stevenson. Keep me at RT44. Receive on me at GQMindsByRod@gmail.com. And right now we're running big specials on that right now, so please let us know what your time frame is, what you're interested in regards to wellness, in regards to sports, massage. We're doing a variety of different things, so please let us know right there. And once again, this is the Rod TV Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toyland.com. This is just a big thing right now that we're doing. What we want to do is focus on part two of where we were last week, the search for Alicia Rudd. For those who weren't listening last week, or for those who are not from the district, Maryland, Virginia, this may seem like it's a local type show, but this is a very important show because we want to make sure that this young girl gets found. There was an 8-year-old girl that has been missing for over a month from a homeless shelter in D.C. And last week we set up the foundation of what was going on, talking about the person that abducted Alicia Rudd, and was talking about the search and the lack of confidence and just neglect from the D.C. Police Department, from just everybody involved when it came down to this particular case. And there has been so much new information that's come over the past week that I had to create a part two for this. There's so many different things that have gone on. They found the person who has taken Alicia Rudd. Unfortunately, they did not find him alive. There's a mysterious man that they are looking for that they feel they may have a connection to this. There's so much of a backstory that people were not aware about in regards to the mother, the grandmother, the quote-unquote stepfather of this particular child that has you scratching your head and just makes you wonder what was really going on. And then there's the behavior of the mother after this particular case, since they found the body of Khalil Tatum. There's just so many different things going on that I really had to create a part two on this. Also, in this show, second half of this show, I want to talk about the Fort Hood murders. I want to talk about post-traumatic stress disorder. This is something that is very serious in our military. This is something that the government has been neglecting and the government has been lacking in preparing for. And it's affecting only our military and not only our soldiers, but also affecting our society. And this is something big that the U.S. government has to get on right now in order to make sure that we don't have a series of men and women that are coming back from Afghanistan that are dealing with a whole lot of stress. Yesterday while I was at work, I was confronted with a soldier. She just came back from Afghanistan. She did two tours out there. She's a nurse. And with everything that she's seen, everything that she's done while she was doing those tours in Afghanistan, she felt that it was important for her to get a massage in order to de-stress, to relax, and just try to focus on trying to maintain her sanity. And this is what we want to talk about. We want to talk about different options, different ideas, different ways to make sure that these soldiers are coming back and they're being taken care of. So this is what this show is about today. This is a special 1 hour session of TV show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toyland Entertainment. And I definitely appreciate everybody once again. And before we get into that, there's a couple of different things that also happened this week that I want to talk about that brings up some of the past shows. What I enjoy about this show being 1 hour and what I enjoy about Rod's TV show in general is not about a show that you talk about a topic for a day, you talk about a topic for a week, and then you let it go. This is something to build our communities with. This is something that is that's supposed to relay information that is supposed to be beneficial to us and be beneficial to our communities. So before we get into the heart of the topics today, I just wanted to discuss a couple things that happened when based on my show, America in 100 Yards, a couple of weeks ago. And I want to discuss the University of Northwestern University trying to create a union to unionize the football players especially and make sure that the government sees the college football players as employees, because that's what they are. These are kids that are maybe getting, you know, maybe getting somewhere between $10,000 and $30,000 a year in scholarship, which is great. You know, that's really good. They're getting scholarship, education is being pursued. But at the same time, they're risking injury, they're risking permanent damage to their bodies, they're risking permanent effects of their livelihood for a multi-billion-dollar entity, which is college football. And just not to dwell on it too much, but I want to just make sure that we get to the point that it's very beneficial to see where they're going with this. The downside about college football players becoming unionized is that when you're a union, the school even has more control over these kids than when they do as football players, as student athletes. And that is the problem. Yes, they may get a stipend. They may get a $1,500, $2,000, $3,000 stipend if this passes the Supreme Court. But overall, the school has more control. If there's a health issue with the particular student, the scholarship that they have could be lost because the school can say, hey, we no longer need you. We can get another employee, quote unquote. They can let students go and lose their scholarships based on the aspect of them being employees of the university. So it's a Pandora's box that's going to be opened. We will concentrate on this as the developments come in regards to the unionization of these college students or these student athletes if it goes through. But there's something to think about when it comes down to the damned if you do, damned if you don't mentality of how to take care of the student athlete so that way they're considered getting what they're due, getting what the job entails, because it is an internship, it's an externship, because they're bringing in tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, sometimes even billions of dollars for the school, and not being taken care of. Also, in this particular case, we're going to talk about this next week, but I want to bring this up because I'm talking about college football, the University of Alabama, and how the University of Alabama is still the same old Alabama, talking about racism inside the schools. And for those who are not aware of the situation, University of Alabama has officially declared that if you are an African-American student on the University of Alabama campus, there are only 8 fraternities and sororities that you can go, that you can pledge for, and those are the elite 8 fraternities and sororities. Or, you know, I'm not sure if they have IOTA down there, but if the IOTAs are on that campus, you have 9 fraternities that you can pledge at the University of Alabama. And I want to talk about that next week, racism in sports, racism in universities, and see if we can focus on that as well. But that's a whole other topic. I wanted to get that out there because I want to try to keep up with what's going on week to week so that way you know how everything is connecting and how we can move forward to build our communities. Once again, this is the Rod's TV Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland.com, and we want to talk about the case searching for Relisha Rudd momentarily. But first, I want to play the song I'm Running On once again for those who did not hear it last week, for those who did hear it and want to hear it again. This is a very important song for me. It's coming up to the one-year anniversary of the Boston Marathon bombing. This song is available for sale right now. If you have any questions on purchasing this song, please inbox me at Facebook. You can tweet me, direct message to rsteve44, or you can email me at tqmind firebot@gmail.com. I promise you I'll be able to get that out to you. It'll be available in digital subscription, hopefully within the next few days. But once again, this is written by myself and arranged by Toy Sugars and sung by Chris and Jen Profi. And this is Blog Talk Radio, TV show. And once again, this is the song called I'm Running On. What's going to rock, Stevie Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions. They're with me having a little technical difficulties right now, but we will get that taken care of, and hopefully we can get that song on for you a little bit later. So right now, let's get into the topic at hand. We are talking about the search for Release of Rudd Part 2, and once again, this is very critical what we're trying to do right now. We're trying to make sure that we have this information out there, and we want to try to make sure we can find this little girl. We still do not know where she is. We still do not know what is going on with this overall situation, and we want to try to make sure that we answering some of the questions that are out there right now. Question number one is, where is she? Question number two is, you know, what does the family know when it comes down to this particular case? Because obviously there is something going on that the mother is not talking about. Something's going on the grandmother is not talking about. We really need to find out exactly what's going on. So this is what we're talking about today, Rod's TV Show, Blog Talk Radio. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to actually break down the timeline of the events. For those who are listening for the first time, we're going to go back a few years. We're going to go back even further than this initial case. We want to talk about what the Child Protective Services were reporting as well, because that's very important. But the past, what was going on in the past, is dictating what is happening in the present and what is possibly going on with the parents and the grandparent of this child and trying to find out what's going on. But once again, here's the song I'm running on, Toyland Productions, Blog Talk Radio, Rod's TV Show.
I'm running on, running through the races, running for the faces that have been here before. I'm running on, through the smoke and through the fire, but I won't get tired, 'cause I'm running home. I'm running on, for those who are in trouble, for those who struggle, I feel your pain. I'm running on, but I won't turn around, and I won't slow down until I see you again. Until I see you again. Through the pain, through the clouds and the rain, I'm running on, and in the race I will remain. For my friends, for those I can depend on, I will keep running till the end. I'm running on. I'm running on, running through the races, running for the faces that have been here before. I'm running on, through the smoke and through the fire, but I won't get tired, 'cause I'm running on. I'm running on, for those who are in trouble, for those who struggle, I feel your pain. I'm running on, but I won't turn around, and I won't slow down until I see you again. I'm running on. running for the faces that have been here before. I'm running on through the smoke and through the fire, but I won't get tired, 'cause I'm running home. No, I won't get tired, 'cause I'm running home.
And that was Chris and Jen Profi with I'm Running On, Toyland Productions. And like I said, if you're interested in purchasing that song, please inbox me on my Facebook. You can tweet me at RC44, or you can email me at GQMindByRod@gmail.com. That's a really important song. Proceeds will go to charity. So please, 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 let's help out. Going into the one-year anniversary of the tragedy that happened at the Boston Marathon. I know I got a guy in New York is listening, but the thing is we're all together on this here. So definitely want to make sure that we take care of those who are still feeling the effects of the injuries and the tragedy that happened a year ago next week. So definitely look forward to that digitally, and also it is available right now, hard copy as well. So I just wanted to get that out there. This is the Rod Stevie Show. Tonight we are talking about part two of the search for Relisha Rudd, Relisha Rudd's 8-year-old girl who is still missing. No, we do not want to say that she is presumed dead. We do not want to say that she is lost forever. We want to try to see if we can find out all the details and find out where this girl is. The main thing that has developed over the past 7 days, back a couple days ago, they did find the body of the alleged abductor, Khalil Tatum, who was a 51-year-old janitor who befriended Relisha Rudd's mother and took her out and bought a lot of things for her. And actually about a month and a half ago, took her from the homeless shelter that she was staying. And they did find his body at the Kenilworth Park in Northeast D.C., where they were doing a lot of searches. There's a lot of acres out there. They went through a lot of 700 acres. They found the body in the water, but they have not found any traces of Relisha Rudd. So that's one thing that has developed recently. Also, part two, there is a suspicious guy that they're trying to find out information on, and they have not found information on that person as well. But this story goes back a lot longer than the past, since March 1st. Unfortunately, there have been a lot of different bits of information should have shown signs of something tragic happening to these children. There are 4 children involved. Relisha Rudd is the one that is missing. The other 3 children were taken to custody because this whole family structure was just not proper for children. And this is something that there's gaps in the child protective services, there's gaps in the school system, there's gaps in the structure of our government that allows some of these things to happen. So let's go back to, this goes back to July of 2007. I think Relisha Rudd is 8 years old right now, so this is when she was probably about 2. Social workers visited the house where Relisha Rudd grew up, where Relisha's mother had inadequate food for her and another newborn baby. And they also concluded that Relisha may have been physically abused at that time, at 2 years old. However, CPS did not have enough evidence to determine if she was abused or not, so they gave the mom a pass. 3 years later, April of 2010, this is where CPS should have stepped in at this point. Social workers found evidence of medical neglect. This is the way the house of this young child and her siblings were. And there's a problem with this because this is not just an example of one household. This happens throughout the country. It's not dealing with a black family, not dealing with white families, not dealing with Hispanic families. There's parents out there that are neglecting their children, and this is what happens here. A filthy home, littered with trash, cigarette butts and ashes all over the place. Evidence of that small children were left unsupervised and allowed to bathe themselves at 2-3 years old. And they report for one of the siblings of Felicia Rudd. So in other words, you know, the child, who at the time was about 18 months, had to have some sort of surgery. Very important that had to be followed up with a doctor in order to avoid infection. But, however, the mother, who did have assistance, who did have medical assistance through the government system, chose not to go to the doctor to follow up to make sure that this child would not be seriously injured, seriously harmed, seriously infected due to the post-operative surgery. And this is what led up to a lot of things right here. Now this is where the story kind of changes. This comes from November of this past year, November 2013. Social workers found evidence that children were unsupervised and that one child has been thrown to the ground and slapped, causing a split lip in the child. This is one of the siblings, or the brother of Felicia Rudd, was thrown down to the ground, slapped, and point where his lip was split. And this occurred while the family was living at the homeless shelter, which used to be known as D.C. General Hospital here in Washington, D.C. That's red flag number 3. What in the world is going on here when you have this issue going on at the homeless shelter? At the homeless shelter, at this point in time, when all this is going on, Khalil Tatum, who was a janitor at this homeless shelter, is at this point taking an interest in these children. He sees that the mother is struggling. He sees that the mother was having some issues with the general, with her children, and he took this opportunity to become acquainted with this family. And this is where the story really just irritates me, that things were not being taken care of at this time. You know, the homeless shelter was in a quandary because, of course, you don't want to kick this family out, because if you kick this family out, then who knows what would happen at that particular point in time when they're out without any type of support, any type of, you know, supervision, in essence. But at the same time, if these children are being abused in the homeless shelter, that means that there is a major problem and a major issue and a major error that is going on inside the homeless shelter. So this was back in November, prior to Thanksgiving. You know, at this point, Khalil Tatum is taking his time preying on his family. And here is where the issue comes. February 26th, Shamika Young, who is the mother of 4 children, one of them is Felicia Rudd, the 8-year-old in question right now, he asked Khalil Tatum, a janitor at the homeless shelter, to take her 8-year-old daughter, Felicia, home with him. So she was frustrated to the point where she said, you know what, can you please take my oldest child, can you please take Felicia home with you, because I don't know what to do anymore. It's the last time that she sees her daughter, February 26th. We are in the middle of April right now, and this is the last time she's seen her daughter. Later that day, Khalil Tatum and Felicia are seen walking towards a room at the Holiday Inn Express in Northeast D.C., holding bags. They, you know, he bought some bags. If you look at the footage, looks like some chips or some soda, something to that effect, where he bought some food for her and probably bought maybe a toy or two for her, and they went into a hotel room that night, February 26th. So at that point, you have to think, okay, red flag number 1, Shamika Young asked this person that she really doesn't know too well. She calls him the godfather of her children because of the fact that he was really nice to them. You know, he bought them things. He bought the kids things, bought the kids toys. Now, the story goes, on the side note to this here, is that not only was he buying presents and gifts for Felicia Rudd, but he was also buying presents and gifts for other children inside this particular location, inside this homeless shelter. So he was preying on not only this child here, but he was trying to find which family would be ideal for him to pray, to jump on this particular situation. There were some children, if you look at the Washington Post from last Sunday, which would be last Sunday, April 1st, and you see where there were several children in the shelter that were afraid for their lives. They were afraid that he was going to do something to them, that they would duck and hide to make sure that this gentleman would not find them. And this was going on inside this shelter. You know, there's supposed to be a disconnect. There's supposed to gender that is supposed to go in there and just supposed to do their job, you know, clean the facilities, and then, you know, go on with their everyday normal lives. Now, I'm not saying that there is a problem if someone that works in a building, someone that works in a facility is friendly. And we see this all the time. You know, we go into an office building, you know, a place where we work, and we may see a person that is very friendly. A person that likes, you know, a person that they want to talk to you, you know, a person that if you work in a government office, the person that checks the tags security wise, you know, they might say, "Hi, how you doing? Good to see you today. How's your day?" Things like that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But as a parent, you should understand the difference of a person being friendly and the difference of a person that is trying to prey on children or trying to prey on your innocence. You know, this is not just about children, not just about, you know, young children. This is also about, you know, how you take care of yourself as an adult. Sometimes you have a person that is very nice to you, a person that is friendly to you, a person that might actually say, "Hey, you know, you want a bite to eat? Can I buy you some lunch?" Something like that. You got to be protective of yourself and be protective of your surroundings, because what happened was Shamika Young probably saw this guy and said, "You know what? You know, he's real nice. He's buying me things. He's buying me some food and things. He's buying my kids things. So I must be really." I must be really able to trust this person because they're being very friendly to me. And that's red flag number two in this case. You know, Shamika Young got caught up in the fact that there was actually a person that was showing some compassion for her, showing some compassion for what was going on, and took that to a level that was just really harmful, not only for the harmful not only for the mother, but harmful for this child, or harmful for this family at all. This whole family is completely separated right now and destroyed based off of this. So, fast forward. I just had to digress on that particular topic because I wanted to build a foundation on this here. So, fast forward to March 1st. The last day Alicia is seen alive, according to police, they were seen at a home improvement store where Khalil Tim was buying some products that can be used to bury for burial, some lime scales, some dirt. So I don't want to go too much into it, but this is where it gets interesting. The investigation gets lost. March 13th, a month ago, counselor at Payne Elementary School writes referral to D.C. Child and Family Services, noting that Relisha has many absences. She missed more than 30 days at this point, so she was missing days prior to going with Khalil Tatum. So the mom already has taken this child out of school for more than 30 days. But there were excuses that were written by a gentleman named Dr. Tatum. So he posed as a doctor in order to excuse this child. But it went to March 19th to the school, said, "You know what, we have to figure out what's going on here." You know, they're concerned regarding the educational neglect. They're saying that Ms. Young was unable to account for Alicia's whereabouts. So once they asked Shamika Young where her child was, she wasn't really sure. And that's where the big thing, this is where all of this really just going really crazy right now. And then we go back to, then we go into, you know, this past week, since the last show, you know, they found Khalil Tatum's body in the water. You know, the body is positively ID'd as Tatum last week. The D.C. Police Department has officially ended the search saying that they have not found his child and they are not really investing any more money. So now local groups are stepping in, and they're actually looking for a person that they feel that has connection to this particular case. And there's a $25,000 reward out here. If anybody knows any information in regards to this, please, please, please contact the D.C. Metro Police Department and see if we can find out what's going on here, because this is becoming a really sad state. You know, it's not looking too strong when it comes down to finding something positive going on with this particular case, but hopefully you always got to hold out hope. When you look at the case in Cleveland, where these three girls were held captive for 10, 12, 13 years, that showed that there is a possibility that this child can be found. Hopefully we can find her soon. So I want to give an update on the information, and just wanted to mention that that there's still opportunities to support the independent groups that are looking for her. To find out more information, you can go on WashingtonPost.com, or you can actually inbox me. I can relay that information to you in regards to the groups that are looking for her right now. And that is part one of what I want to talk about. We're going into the second half of the Rise TV show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, and just want to thank everybody that's been listening. Last week was the highest rated Rise TV show in the history of the three and a half years I've been doing this show. So it was the highest rated show in the history of the Rise TV show. So I want to thank each and every one of you that was listening, that was calling in, that was emailing, releasing information, really making it feel like we're making a difference in our community. And that's what this is all about. So that's why I want to talk about this particular segment here, part two of the Rise TV show today, is about the tragedy that happened in Fort Hood. And you see all this information online, you see all this information on the news, but there's a lot of different things that they don't want to go into. The government tries to hide the issue of post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. You know, they tried to hide it by giving the soldiers medicine, try to hide it by trying to say that, oh, it's just isolated incidences. But you got to look at what the soldiers see. You know, they go through a hard time. They go through a lot of ups and downs when they're out in the, you know, when they're out in the field. You know, when you're doing a tour, you know, for 4 months, 6 months at a time, away from your family, away from your friends, away from your community, away from a lifestyle that may be more peaceful, then they come home. And when they come home, they're lost in the way of the community. They've been separated from reality in a sense that reality has become war. So when you have people that their reality has become war, reality has become a war zone, reality has become losing their friends, losing their buddies, losing their troop, their battalion, people that have been around them, people that have been supporting them, not only as far as the connection of friendship, but also from a military aspect. You know, a lot of these soldiers, you know, they do a tour, they come home for a few days, and then maybe a month, and then they have to go right back out to that place that they were trying to avoid, right back out to Afghanistan, out to Iraq, out to Egypt, out to these places where there's a chance that they might not even see their family or their friends ever again. You all think that's stressful, possibility that they can struggle to acclimate themselves to what, quote-unquote, normal life once they finish this particular tour? That's what you have to realize, and the government has had issues with addressing that or acknowledging that. So with them not addressing these issues, basically what that does is that destroys their psyche. You know, they come back and they think the government's going to help, you know, going not to help, but going to make sure that they're getting back to reality, getting back to regular life, getting back to a lifestyle that will assist them into civility, to civilization. You know, when you know they become civil servants, as they're called. And this is not happening. The government basically says, thank you for your service, good luck. Health benefits, not too much. You know you have some health benefits that you got to fight for. There's so much red tape that goes through when you're getting your money, when you're getting, say, if, you know, if a person wants to go into the military for school purposes, then I'm just going to do a tour, I'm going to do my 4 years, and I'm going to go to school. A lot of times that's not happening. You know, this army, the military in general, is changed because of the fact that bolstered, they're not getting the benefits of housing, of health care, of health management. They might get health care for 6 months, but then after that, they're done. They're on their own, you know, unless they try to fight for it. And this is what's going on. The military will do a photo op. You know, the government will do a photo op. You know, the Secretary of State or the Secretary of Defense will go to Walter Reed or go to Fort Hood or someplace like that, take a couple pictures, and then they're done. And then you have a person like Specialist Ivan Lopez. And Ivan Lopez was a person that was looking for that help, that was looking for that benefit in order to make sure that he was on the right track to civilization, that he was on that pace. However, according to reports, an argument ensued, and he unloaded, killing 3 people, injuring 16 before taking his own life after being cornered. And this is becoming a more common problem. We had the case in Norfolk a couple weeks ago, where a soldier was killed at Norfolk Navy Base. You know, Fort Hood, once again, 5 years ago, this happened. We had the Navy Yard incident here in D.C. last year. This is not isolated incidents. These are not isolated incidents. These are incidences that are becoming more common because the military has not stepped up and done their job to make sure that our soldiers, when they come home, are well taken care of. And if they don't do that, then we're going to have a military base, a military structure that is going to be skewed and going to be distorted and going to be twisted to the point where these soldiers are not sure if they're fighting against another entity or fighting against themselves. You know, you have these soldiers coming back talking about, oh, I'm seeing things, I'm hearing things, the shell shock of it all. And I'm speaking not as a person who was a soldier, but I'm speaking of a person that sees what is going on with the soldiers that are. And if we don't realize that what's going on with our soldiers, then we're going to be doomed to repeat this again. And that's the problem. I mean, you look at a case of this gentleman here, of Ivan Lopez. You know, they said he was very introverted. They say he was very, that he stayed to himself when he came home. They said that he was, you know, focused on, you know, music, focused on trying to do different things, but not really a person that was out trying to solve some of the things that were going on in his head. And it's not about post-traumatic stress all the time. It's about depression. It's about to adapt to life in the United States again. It's about to adapt to life outside the military. A lot of times it's hard. It's very difficult for soldiers, for members of the military, that are out on the field or not even on the field to adapt to life after military because their mind has been so constructed to be all about military. And when that's the case, when they get home, then what? What do they do? What can they say? What can they develop in order to be successful in their new job and their new career? All they know is the military a lot of times. So we have to create a structure where there's a transition period. Every office, there should be a transitionary period where these soldiers are able to, even in the business world, there should be a transition from being a person that's working at a particular job to moving into retirement. with the military, it's especially important because, you know, it's not just okay. You're going from being out in the field for several years to just going back to working 9-to-5. What is a 9-to-5 to a soldier? What is a 9-to-5 to a member of the military? That means nothing to them. You know, working a 9-to-5 is more stress than being out in the military, being out in the field, because their structure is different. A military structure is much different than you and I that work an office job, that work a 9-to-5, that works, you know, a service job, that, you know, that busses tables or works in retail or something like that. You know, their lives are different. You can't expect us to been in the Air Force for 5 or 6 years, a person that's been in the Marines for 4 or 5 years, to go to work at Target and think everything's going to be okay. Or go to work at an office and sit down in the office and think that, you know, they can just go into that right away. And if we don't take the time to bring this up to our military branches, we have the right resources to do that, even as civilians, to try to make sure that the military is taken care of. And, you know, this is something that I wanted to talk about today. Once again, this is Rise TV Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toyland Entertainment, and today we're talking about post-traumatic stress disorder. For those who don't know what post-traumatic stress disorder is, basically a impact force where you have some sort of trauma in your life. It can be personal, impersonal. It can be something that you've seen, something that you've done, or something that someone has done to you, and it has affected your life to the point where everything you do after that point is tense. Everything you do after that point is on edge. You're on pins and needles on everything that happens. Your mind is not focused on the things that you need to do because something has been done to you or said to you, or you have seen something that has distorted your sense of reality to the point where you don't know what to do, where to stand, and where to go at that particular point. And post-traumatic stress disorder is particularly evident are members of the military because they have been tuned to look at death, tuned to look at injuries, tuned to look at gross misconduct as a way of being at that particular time. You have to shrug it off, brush it off, keep moving, or else the next person that is injured or the next person that may have fatality is them. So they're tuned to block out any type of trauma in their life. So when they come home, what happens? They have time to reflect on that past. They have time to reflect on that trauma. There are numerous veterans of Vietnam, of the Iraq War, that we see each and every day, could not adjust and adapt to the current life of civilization, the current life of being a civilian. And where do you see them? You know, unfortunately, you see them panhandling on the side of the streets. You see them trying to battle addictions with drugs and alcohol. You see them trying to battle different elements of their life and their marriage because of the fact that they are struggling with adapting to civilization, adapting to being a civilian, or not even being a civilian, but just being a civilian lifestyle. So this is the problem that occurs. It's the problem that comes. And I hope that there are soldiers out there that are listening to this and take 3 aspects of what's going on right now. Okay, part one, you know, I'm in civilian life. I am adjusting. I just came home from a tour, and I do not plan to go on another tour. Now what? Main thing, you never, as a soldier, from what I gather, you never want to focus on the future, because if you focus on the future, then you take focus off the present. You have to focus on the now, because the now is detrimental. If you don't focus on the now, then there won't be a future when you're in the field. So that's why I understand, as a soldier, that as a member of the military, you have to focus on the now. But when you realize that you are on that plane flying back home from Afghanistan, flying back home from Iraq, flying back home from Korea, on the ship or in the air from where you were stationed prior, you have to create a temporary game plan. You know, don't look at a long-term goal. Look at maybe a two to three month game plan. Say, okay, when I get home, you know, I want to try to do certain things with my friends and family that I weren't able to do before. You know, I have to try to make sure that my skills and my craft that I have developed in my 4, 5, 6 years in the military can transfer into something more beneficial. There's actually a job fair going on next weekend here in Washington, D.C., for military. And it's designed to cater to some of the crafts that he or she may have done while they're members of the military. And these are the things that when you're coming home and you know that your tour is up and you feel like you want you to do that transition, you have to make a short-term game plan, 3 months. Try to figure out what you're going to do in 3 months. And then develop that to a long-term game plan. Okay, 3 months, I got myself acclimated to regular life now. You know, I'm not waking up, doing the training, doing the drills, you know, focusing on the task at hand. You know, I have to try to release and relieve himself. That's where I feel that you have to find something. Part two is finding something that comforts you. Some soldiers are into playing sports, basketball, you name it. You might have to try to get yourself out there. Gather yourself up with a couple of people that can help you with that transition and find that comfort zone. If you're a golfer, go out and golf that first 2 weeks that you come home. Try to take your mind off of some of the things that you have done and reflect on the things that you are wanting to do. If you do that, then that can create a peace of mind. Like I said, a lot of military, especially I remember during Veterans Day, came in, they just came off a tour, and they came, the first thing they did once they got off a tour, they came and got a massage. You know, they came and got a massage, they try to take their mind off, try to relax their mind and their body. And that's what you have to do, relax your mind and your body, because your body will be able to relax once you come off tour. But your mind is still racing. Your mind is still trying to figure out, you know, what to do. Your mind is trying to figure out how to react to this newfound civility, newfound relaxation. If you do that, then your mind, if you relax your body and make sure you totally relax your body and relax your mind, then your spirit will be able to realize and grasp the reality that you are no longer in this particular position. And then part three is focusing on your family. Focusing on your family. That's the hardest aspect. From what I gather, a lot of times is focusing on the family aspect. You know, if you've been separated from your children, separated from your spouse, separated from your parents, and then you come back home and you're trying to readjust. It's like seeing a new person all over again. You know, you're trying to learn the uniquity of your family again. You know, all the ins and outs of what goes on in the household, all the different things that you missed, you know, birthdays, anniversaries, you know, just different things that you're trying to catch up on. And easy fix for that. There's no easy fix. There's no one-stop shop that says, okay, you know, if you do this, then you're going to be fine. Everybody can do this, and it's going to work. So that will be the biggest thing. And if we do that, then you have at least a better sense of trying to gather back the life that you know that you wanted, and gather the sense of civility, gather the sense of trying to get back to the life of being a civilian. And when you do that, then that can reduce the risk of the sense of things that's been going on when it comes down to these bombings, these shootings, these murders that are going on in our military due to post-traumatic stress disorder. And if that's done, if that's done properly, then the soldier, the person, the member of the military can live that, you know, to live that quality life. And that's a big thing. We want to make sure that our members of the military have a quality life outside of the military. So that way, one, they don't feel like they have to go back and fight to be successful. They don't have to go back to fight to, you know, get away from their family to benefit. And they feel like they can be successful in whatever they do when they get home. Again, it's Roz TV Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions. These are my thoughts on this here. If anybody has any thoughts on this, there's still some time left. Please call me at 347-850-1228. You can also inbox me on Facebook or tweet me at RSD44, hashtag Rod's TV Show. And just want to see if we can really, you know, get down to the bottom of this here. And, you know, once again, I thank everyone for just their time, just listening to the information, absorbing the information, and actually being active in our communities. That's where we're coming down to, activity. And we want to be active in our communities to make sure that situations like what's happening with Release of Red, what's happening in Fort Hood, can be prevented. Of course, it cannot be totally prevented. You know, things are going to happen. You know, life happens where people lose control, lose focus of what's going on, lose focus of the things that are able to benefit their communities and benefit their families and benefit their lives. But you have to realize that there's support out there, there's people out there that can really help to get you to that next level. It can be friends, it can be family, it can be organizations that can really assist in making sure that things are done properly. But what we have to do, we have to make sure that we take the action ourselves and reflect within ourselves in order to make sure that we are doing the proper things for our family and for our communities. And those are my thoughts for today, and those are my thoughts for the week. Going into the upcoming month, we're getting into the period where this is the height of the religious time for the Jewish community, for the Christian community. And we're going to talk about that going into next week and going into the following week. There will be a show on Palm Sunday next week. There will be a show on Easter Sunday. I want to try to make sure that we are hitting on these topics here, because there's a lack of understanding when it comes down to the Passover season, when it comes down to the Easter season, when it comes down to the whole concept of where religion is in our lives right now. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, religion was a major aspect no matter who you were in the country. If you're Muslim, if you're Jewish, if you're Christian, Buddhist, Hindu, it didn't matter. Religion was a very strong aspect. But now, because of the melding of our country, we're losing that aspect of religion in our communities. We're losing the aspect of what is strong and what our values are in our community, in our families, in our lives. So I want to touch on that a little bit in the next couple of weeks. And I want to hear from different aspects of it, from those who are Jewish, from those who are Christian, from those who are Muslim, from those who are even Buddhist or Hindi. I want to find a different element and aspect, so that way we know how to come together. Because at one point in time, there was an aspect where all of these religions, the foundation was still there. The foundation all came together. But because of the way we separate ourselves in our community, the way we separate ourselves in our lives, the way we separate ourselves when we talk to our families even, there's a split and a spirituality. So that's what I want to talk about. Not really religion, because religion is separatist. Religion is a way to separate ourselves to define who we are. So I want to talk about the spiritual aspect of these periods of time and kind of go into the foundation of where spirituality is headed, where our spirituality is developing. And this is a critical aspect of what we want to talk about the next couple of weeks. And the Rise TV Show, once again, is always brought to you by Tranquil Minds Massage and Wellness. And speaking of spirituality, massage and wellness can deal with energy healing and spiritual well-being. Tranquil mind, tranquil body, tranquil spirit. And that's what we were talking about today, and that's what I want to address with that as well. So if you have any questions or you want to find or you want to schedule an appointment, please inbox me on Facebook, tweet me at RSD44, or email me at TQMindByRod@gmail.com. com. And we have a few minutes left. And this is, once again, the Rod Stevens Show, Blog Talk Radio, Blog Talk Productions. We do have another episode of Love Talk coming up this upcoming Friday. Doug Love and I will discuss some of the things as far as blossoming love, blooming, you know, the season of blooming, the season of blossoming, and that's what we've been focusing on this past month. So we're going to continue that particular topic, continue that particular trend. So stay tuned to see exactly what topic we're going to hit on this particular week. We may extend it to an hour this week as well, so keep a lookout for that. I think it was really, really big and really developing when we did the one-hour show this past Friday, and we had a really big response from it. So I think we may continue for our show this upcoming week as well. And then next week, like I said, we're going to talk about spirituality. If there's any special alerts or updates or anything that's going on in the community that happens prior to next Sunday, it may be subject to change. But, you know, that's what I like about the Rod Stevens Show. The Rod Stevens Show is a fluid show. It's not a show that's all about structure in regards to the topic. It's about making sure that the topic is being discussed properly so that way we can benefit our communities better. So once again, I thank everybody that's been listening to the show and just want to hear your feedback. Like I say, the story does not end. The topics do not end once the show ends. You can always connect and contact with me via Twitter, via Facebook, via Gmail, and I would definitely like to get out all the information I can to you so that way you can relay the messages to other people. Also, once again, I'm running on a tribute song for the anniversary of Boston Marathon is available. Please contact me if you want to find out more information on that because it's really important that we get this out there. We want to try to make sure we get this out prior to the anniversary next week. If we are very successful, then we can present something to these charities on the anniversary. And that's what I'm striving for. We have a week to do it. I know a lot of my people out here listening to Blog Talk Radio, listening to Toilet Entertainment, will be very supportive in trying to make sure we reach our goal of trying to present something to these charities in the upcoming week. If not, this is a 365 thing. You know, we're not. It doesn't have to happen on the anniversary, but we want to try to make sure that we get it out there and get the word out there to make sure that these people that were affected, these men and women that were affected, can be taken care of properly, get the health care that they need, get the benefits that they need, and just maybe just a little support, just a sign that's saying that, hey, somebody's thinking about you. We thank you for, you know, just for the running itself, just for continuing on, for running on. And somebody's watching out for you. And that's why you're still here. For those who survived, for the families, it's, you know, just a lending shoulder and just a helping hand. And that's what we're looking to do. So thank you once again. And until next time, this is the Rod Stevens Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toyland Entertainment.
Intellect, increasing our knowledge to keep ourselves in check.
Positivity is all we need. Together.